Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. A couple ways that a person can honor the Lord is to give of our substance to support the spreading of the gospel and to minister to those in need. Another way is to submit to the Lord's discipline, because everything that God allows to come into our lives has a purpose. Moreover, when He corrects us, it proves that He loves us and that we are His children. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 3, verse 9, and join Pastor Ray Viola as he completes his study of this chapter.
When we surrender, the Lord more than makes up for what we think we're losing. You can't outgive God. Silver and gold have I none. Those were the apostles. So evidently, they never listened to the health and wealth heretic teachings on how to increase your money after listening to Jesus for 3 years. The guy's begging.
Oh, Pete, you got a coin?
No, I don't have anything. What about you, John? I don't have a penny either. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. What would you rather have, silver and gold? No, such as I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's far beyond money, isn't it? That's real wealth. That's prosperity. My son, verse 11, despise not or do not resent the chastening or the discipline of the Lord. Don't make light of it. Don't ignore it. Neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Job 5:17 tells us, behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. And like God, a good father's correction will be biblical, it will be vertical, it will be in line with the plans and purposes of God for his children, with the ultimate purpose of them knowing God, fearing God, serving him. That's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal. For those who are followers of Jesus Christ, God is our Father. And we find these very same verses in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. And that enforces the point that the chastening of the Lord, and how many of you know what that is? When he disciplines you, when he corrects you, when he illuminates areas in your heart, in your soul, in your attitudes that are ungodly, that are unchristlike, that's a proof of his love. That's a proof that he loves you. For all of God's people are chastened. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. You see, since even the wisest of God's children are subject to sin, there's the necessity of God's fatherly discipline. The purpose of discipline is to teach or instruct our children the fear of God and the ways of God in order to avoid the consequences inflicted by inappropriate behavior. Now, we can't stop our children from misbehaving. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, God's a pretty good God. He's got a lot of misbehaving kids. But if you are, you can be sure of one thing. It's like when my papa, when I was doing something wrong, and he was at work, and he was a bricklayer. I mean, he could pick up two blocks with each hand. And mama would say, wait till dad gets home. Oh, boy. And then dad got home. Because I was the oldest in an Italian family, you know what that meant? That I got disciplined for all three of my brothers. If they did wrong, I got disciplined for it. And he'd take out that old strap and go, this is going to hurt me more than you. Yeah, right. I never believed that. And God sometimes takes out the strap, doesn't he? Our attitudes are not right. But it's a sign that he loves us. You know, when Jesus rebuked the church at Laodicea, he says in chapter 3, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. So his very rebuking them was proof that he loved them. But know that God doesn't correct us because he's angry. He corrects us because he loves us.
He corrects us because he teaches us to do the right things. He corrects us because what we're doing and why we're doing it only hurts us and those around us. In Hebrews 12:11, it says, "Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby." It's not a joy when you're being corrected for a season, but boy, what a joy afterwards. Happy, verse 13, is the man. The word happy there means, oh, how blessed is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. And as we've already read in the Proverbs, and we will see much more, that the true source of wisdom and understanding comes from God, comes from fearing God. Now, this happiness is not a gushy, subjective feeling. It's the overflow of a life that walks in the wisdom and understanding that comes from God. So where does a person find happiness? Happy is the man that finds wisdom and that gets understanding. Where does a person find happiness? Money? Fame? Comes from fearing God. Comes from walking in his ways. I had a whole other bunch of scriptures that we're going to go over for tonight for time. But just look at all of the times that we find in the scripture, in the Proverbs, where happiness comes from. It comes from having mercy on the poor. Comes from trusting in the Lord. It comes from fearing him. It comes from obeying him. That's where happiness comes from. You're not going to get that information from the world system. They're going to tell you if it's you, if you drive this vehicle, if you eat these vegetables, if you take these vitamins, you know, Life in Nature. If I see that commercial one more time, you know what it makes me want to do? It makes me want to go to Wegmans and buy the vegetables. Much cheaper than those Vits. And probably more organic, more divine. Well, that's not to put it down. If you take it and you're feeling good, great. I'm happy for you. Verse 14, for the merchandise of it, finding the wisdom and the understanding of God, is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof more than fine gold. She is more precious or more valuable than rubies, and all the things you can desire are not to be compared unto her. In other words, wisdom gained and wisdom applied is better than the profit of silver and her yield in fine gold. It's a precious treasure to be gained at whatever cost. No amount of money can replace the value of godly wisdom. One person said this, a bank account may pay you interest, but following the wisdom of God will pay you with life and that more abundantly. The Family Bible Network said, the smallest measure of true wisdom is better than all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, for it makes us blessed here and prepares us for the eternal blessedness hereafter. Walking in the wisdom of God, walking in the purpose of God, walking in the plan of God. And sometimes that call, that wisdom may put you in a place that doesn't seem to make sense. Now, say what you want to say about Mother Teresa. Say what you want to say about her and her theology. But there she was ministering in the slum areas, in the leper area, and there in Calcutta. And there were reporters from the United States that went over to see what she was doing. And one reporter said to her, I would never do what you are doing for all the money in the world. And she replied, neither would I. You know why? Because she was doing it for the Lord. She was doing it for the Lord. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And so when we walk in wisdom, our paths, even the valley of the shadow of death, are pleasant and peaceful. She is, wisdom is, a tree of life to those that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retains her. Wisdom is a tree of life because of the rich blessings that result from those that receive her instruction. A tree of life. Wisdom is a tree of life. It's a tree of life. The Bible will tell us in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. Boy, I can't wait to get to these Proverbs that talk about what we do with our mouth. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Isn't it a good one? Just think if we made a commitment as a church family. Lord, give us wholesome tongues. Just wholesome tongues. Tongues filled with truth. Tongues filled with right, with righteousness and holiness and godliness. Do you realize what a blessing that would be in? What an atmosphere, what a culture here. Man, we should put signs, you know, like they have on in some churches, no smoking, no drinking. We'll put over no gossip, no backbiting, no slander, no corrupt communication. Some people would say, well, what am I going to talk about? That's the point. That's the point. Lord, give us wholesome tongues. It's a tree of life. Wisdom. God, give us wisdom. Help us to hold on to it. Verse 19. The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding he has established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. Now, what is really interesting about this is that we're not going to look at it. But in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, it's wisdom and understanding and knowledge. By those three things, God created the universe. So you know what he's telling us? You need to have the same ingredients that I used to create the universe to create a home. Just do a cross-reference with Proverbs 3, 19 and 20, with Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. The very same elements that God used to create the universe must be eagerly sought after to live in his universe. A home built on wisdom, built on understanding, built on knowledge. Read the cross-reference. So when I do premarital counseling, and the older that I get, I do less and less. Pastor Ben and I were talking about it. Because you get to a point where you just get, you know, people come in, we want to meet with you, say, okay, let's talk. Well, let's open up the Word of God. Now, do you know how to create a universe? Oh, no. Do you have the materials to create a universe? Oh, no. So how are you going to build a godly home? Well, I was reading this. Wait. You know we're going to build. Where are you going to get it? You're going to get it from the God who created the universe. You're going to need the same wisdom, the same knowledge, the same understanding that comes from him. That's how you build a home. Pretty neat, isn't it? God builds things that last. And that's what he says here. Just do the cross reference, and it works. It's the materials are free. It may cost you a lot of self-denial. You may have to renew your mind because what we think makes a home many times is contrary to what God says makes a home. It's not more stuff. It's more of him. It's more of him. Okay. Well, do that cross-reference. You'll see it. Read it tonight. You'll see. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. The same ingredients mentioned here in creating the universe are needed to build a home. Verse 21, my son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. The word discretion means discernment. Discernment is the ability to know the true source of something and to respond appropriately. Oh, how we need discernment, especially in this day and age, don't we? How we need to be able to discern things. Because there are some things that look good on the outside. They sound good, but in the core, it's not life, it's death. How we need discernment. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit that we so need. We need God's wisdom. We need God's discernment. So shall they be. Life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shall you walk in thy ways safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. The phrase thy way reminds us that our lives are likened to a journey of some sort. The book of Hebrews calls it a course. And again, how important to life is walking in the wisdom of God and having his discernment. How we need his discernment, don't we? Because the world lies. The world lies to us. The world system will not tell us the truth of God. Now, notice this. Okay, we're walking, we're fearing God, we want to walk in His truth, we want to walk in His understanding, we want to walk in obedience, we want to hate what He hates and call evil what He calls evil, and we want to honor Him with our lives, the first fruits of everything, giving Him the first, the best of everything. Give Him the, let me tell you, give God the best of your day, not the leftovers. Have your devotions when it is the best of your day. You may not be an early morning person. You might be a night owl. Well, then that's when you have that time with the Lord. Give Him the best of your day. Give Him the best of everything. Now, when we do that, notice, we're going to get tired tonight. Every one of us is going to put our head on a pillow or something that looks like a pillow. It says, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. Huh? You won't be afraid. Here's the thing. I've said it before, and I'm more convinced now. Be careful what you listen to. I know people in the church that are so consistently feeding on, I don't have anybody in mind, so I'm just putting on conspiracy theories and all of these things, and it's self-inflicted fear. Shut it off. Put on Alexander Scurby with that nice accent. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Put God's word in your heart. You'll go, you'll be snoring. Even the ladies. You'll lie down, you won't be afraid. You will lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. You'll have dreams in technicolor. You know what it is for me? I have the kind of dreams. I like baseball. I hit the in my dreams, boom! I just hit a ball 550 feet. Yes! And then I wake up. But I'm not thinking about, well, what if they raise the interest rates? Or what about the stock market? Well, what's happening with China? What's going on in the Middle East? Do you see what they did at that school? Well, I'm not saying be disinformed, but be careful what you put in. A lot of the fears that you and I have are self-inflicted. I know people, just a few more minutes. I know people, I see that when I see them shopping now, they're looking at everything. I don't know, well, let's see. It's got this in it, and it's got that. And I'm thinking, well, what are you looking at? They're looking at all the ingredients in here. Go, come on, just give me that. Lord, you told me to pray over everything that I drink and I eat, and you'll cast out the bad stuff. Good. Okay. He says, don't be afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. It's going to come. The thing that we're fearing, the one world government, all of the crazy things that is going on out there, God said it's going to come. You can't stop it. Now, you must resist it. You can't stop it. But don't feed on that propaganda. Don't feed on that lie. Renew your mind with the word of God. For the Lord shall be your confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. God is your confidence in times of crisis. Keep your heart at rest in every situation, beloved. Fear and anxiety are never the will of God for His children. When we are walking in the revealed will of God for our lives, there is a tremendous sense of peace and security, and that is because in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. He's in control. Not me, not the government. Not the CDC, not NATO. He's in control. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I'm not saying that you won't sense that fear or that fear may come, but you overcome that fear with an awareness of the presence of God. Verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Say not to your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when you have it by you. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwells securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Don't be envious of the success of some ungodly, unholy man. Psalm 73, that's what Asaph needed to be told. He was wondering why the wicked are prospering and why he's barely getting by. And then he went into the sanctuary, and then God showed him their end. Verse 32. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. This is the first of 20 references to people, attitudes, or actions that are an abomination to the Lord. And you will be surprised what God calls an abomination. We usually will refer to the sexual immorality, which is undeniably an abomination in the sight of the Lord. But did you ever consider that in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19, he that sows discord among brethren, that's an abomination to the Lord? Same Hebrew word. The person who sows strife, division, gossip, that's an abomination. That's just as ungodly in the sight of the Lord as the sexual immorality. We'll get into that, okay? Verse 34 through 35, and then we will be done for tonight. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesses the habitation of the just. He wants to bless your house. You're the habitation of the just. If you're a believer, you're the household of the just. He blesses the household of the just. Surely he scorns the scorners. God mocks mockers. But he gives grace to the lowly, the person who bends himself. It is the unchangeable purpose of God to abase the proud and exalt the humble. Both James and Peter tell us this. Where does God dwell? Isaiah 57, 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. And there's only one high and lofty one, and he doesn't live on the planet. And he's not a movie star. And he's not an athlete. And he's not the wealthiest man on the planet Earth, okay? There's only one high and lofty one. He inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. And with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's where the Lord dwells. And to those, Isaiah 66, verse 2, who tremble at his word. The wise shall inherit glory. Wow, that's my inheritance, glory. We're going to inherit glory. Amen? We, the wise, shall inherit glory. We're in the will of Abba. We are joint heirs with Christ. We can't even imagine what we're going to step into. That's why the gospel, belief in the gospel, belief in heaven, belief in eternity, really changes everything. It changes everything. For the joy that was set before him, Christ endured the cross, despising the shame. What lies ahead for you and I, brothers and sisters, is beyond words. Eye is not seen, the ear is not heard, what we are going to step into. Amazing. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame or disgrace shall be the promotion of fools. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his
holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward, moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selahonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selahonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.